Hey guys, it's Sammy
and Robbie
back again to tell you about another upcoming con.
And we're super excited about this one.
Mm-hmm. It's another Indiana one. This one is PopCon, Indie PopCon to be exact. And it's going to be in Indianapolis, again at the Convention Center.
Indiana Convention Center.
Right in downtown Indianapolis. And Robbie will be there April 26th through the 28th.
Yes. We were just at the Indiana Comic-Con, so if you missed us, you get a chance to meet us again at PopCon.
Yes, well, at least Robbie.
At least me. Ashley will be there.
Oh, yeah, Ashley will be there. That's an exciting thing.
Ashley will be there, so you get to meet a lot of us on the network.
Yeah, two-thirds.
Two-thirds of it, yes.
There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you're coming to the show, please stop by the Limitless Broadcasting booth. Mm-hmm. We're always excited to see you.
All right.
That's all I got.
Well, I guess we'll see you guys at the show.
Bye.
Bye.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
All it takes is faith and trust. Oh, and something I forgot. Dust. Just a little bit of pixie dust.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Sammy.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
Shall we begin?
It's time to get things started on the most sensational, inspirational, celebrational, motivational
Welcome, Pixie Dusters. We're your favorite hosts. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Ashley. Welcome to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan.
How's it going?
And of course, produced by Limitless Broadcasting.
Don't forget to check out all of our social media after the show, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok.
Yes. Happy April. How is it April?
I don't
know. My wedding from this episode is like a month and a half away.
Yeah, that's a bit
crazy.
Yes.
A little stressful.
When does this come out? This is the third, right?
I think so.
Okay. So since you did a good job last episode, I will be, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, April 3rd, I will be driving to Tampa tomorrow to hang out at Spook Alley for the weekend. And I am super excited. And I'm sure I'm just as excited on this day that this episode released. So if you're in Tampa, come check it out. Awesome. Yeah.
Yes. And then remember, at the end of the month, we have PopCon in Indiana, where I will be there with Robbie for the first time ever.
Mm-hmm. Good luck with that.
Yeah. That does not bode well for me then, when you say it that way.
It stresses me out when I am not at these things with him, because I know he can do it, but I don't think he does things the way I like to do it. Like, I'm like, send me a photo so I can see what you set up. I don't like it. Why did you do this thing that you did over here? Very like particular. Like, I try and be nice and compromise and work with him, but I'm also just like, why are you doing that? Why are you?
Yeah,
like,
I will not be there to help set up. I will be there after the fact.
I mean, they went to Days of the Dead, him and his our friend James, and he's like, oh, there's nowhere for me to hang up the banner. And I was like, oh, trying to give him other ideas of it. They went to Target and just bought a bunch of like duct tape to hang it up, and I was just like, this is okay.
Duct tape. Oh god.
It was like Gorilla tape, duct tape. Yeah. And I'm like, I hope you did not take the paint off the wall when you did this, when you hung up. That was my concern, because it was like intense tape to hang it up.
That's not good.
I guess it was fine, though. You didn't say anything. So
duct tape is the universal problem solver.
Apparently.
Until it takes.
Maybe that's a filmmaker thing. Maybe that's a filmmaker thing, right?
If it gets the job done, it you know, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
These film nerds, they're like, let's just go buy some duct tape and fix it. It's fine.
A little duct tape. Favor, you know, keeps you going.
I must be.
Hey, man, when you're on a time crunch, you, I mean, all you have is those temporary fixes.
Mm-hmm.
So. Gotcha.
There you go. That's why.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, let's get back to what we're talking about this month.
Please.
We are doing Back to the Future.
Yay.
So happy.
I'm super excited about this. Brett was kind of sad that he had to work on these Saturdays because he would have been a part of the podcast.
Next time.
So we're just going to jump in. Okay. Quick IMDb summary. Marty McFly, a 17-year-old high school student, is accidentally sent 30 years into the past in a time-traveling DeLorean invented by his close friend, the Maverick scientist Doc Brown. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of anybody calling him a Maverick
scientist. He's a Maverick scientist.
God, he is.
I love this.
Yeah, he is.
I love. And wait, can we do one side note? Think about if we went 30 years in the past now.
No, oh,
I got a whole note. No, I got a hold on that.
That's what I was thinking. I'm glad it wasn't just me. Thank you, Dan. I was thinking when I was rewatching it. I was like, oh no.
I've literally thought about this since the first time I ever saw this movie. Okay. I saw this movie the first time in the 90s. So, mm-hmm. There you go.
Hold on.
Yeah. I don't think I put that much thought into it the first 100 times I watched this, but now as a grown adult, I'm like, oh, great. Okay.
We would have been 6 and 7.
94, yep. That would have been right. I've been about 7 years old.
In the 90s. Yep.
No, we're moving on. This came out 1985. directed by Robert Zemeckis.
Zemeckis.
Also written by Robert Zemeckis and Bob Gale. Two Bobs. The Bobs. Mm-hmm. Of course, it stars Michael J. Fox, Christopher Lloyd, and Leah Thompson. Of course, there's others, but those are the main three on there. Now, there are some taglines. The first one is the tagline from the UK, which I thought was interesting that they included this. He's the only kid ever to get in trouble before he was born.
That's funny. I like that one.
I like it. He was never in time for his classes. Mm-hmm. Then one day he wasn't in his time at all.
Yep.
Okay.
I remember that one. I remember they had that tagline on the VHS cassette tape cover.
Throw that there.
Yeah.
He's never in time for his classes.
And one day
there was a more extended version of it. He was never in time for his classes. He wasn't in time for his dinner. Then one day he wasn't in his time at all.
Oh goodness.
Which is on this list.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then 17-year-old Marty McFly got home early last night. 30 years early.
Right.
These are pretty funny. I like these.
These are good.
Marty McFly's having the time of his life. The only question is, what time is it?
Mm-hmm.
Meet Marty McFly. He's broken the time barrier, busted his parents' first date, and maybe botched his chances of ever being born.
Sure did. Yeah.
Marty McFly just broke the time barrier. He's only got 1 week to get it fixed. That one's not as good, but the others were good.
Yeah. But in general, very good. I like it.
Yeah. It grossed domestically $211 million.
Yeah.
Sorry, $211,850,000 and chim change. And then internationally, it did $11.4 million. Worldwide altogether, $223.3 million. So it did a lot. I believe it's later on, but I believe it was one of the higher grossing movies of that time.
Oh yeah.
Or highest.
Blue Michael J. Fox is mine too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll get to Michael and how he started this. Anyways,
this is
what we were talking about earlier. The rights to the film and its sequels are owned by the Bobs. And in a 2015 interview, both of them maintained that no reboot or remake of the film would be authorized during his or Gale's lifetime.
Makes sense.
Yep. I'm okay with that.
Good man.
Mm-hmm. I'm great with that, actually.
No problems.
Both writers received a fan letter from John DeLorean after after the film's release, thanking them for immortalizing his car.
That is true.
Yep.
It really did.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always in the lexicon now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In 2010, during a cast reunion, Michael J. Fox said that strangers still call him McFly constantly. Mm-hmm. Fox said that the most remarkable instance was when he was in a remote jungle in the South Asian country of Bhutan, located between China and India in the Eastern Himalayas, as a group of Buddhist monks passed him, and one of them looked at Fox and said, "Marty
That's so great.
That's amazing.
I love that story. That's awesome.
I didn't know Buddhist monks can watch TV.
Apparently they watch Back to the Future at the very least.
The script was actually rejected 44 times before it was finally greenlit.
Mm-hmm.
Took a while. And then apparently after the film's release, body kits were made for DeLoreans to make them look like the time machine. People would buy these body kits to make them look like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So next, Bob Gale finally gives us a plot hole explanation. I don't know if I believe him on this. Like, I don't know if I agree with him. But anyways, apparently he says that bear in mind that George and Lorraine. Oh, sorry. Plot hole question about Marty's parents not remembering him as a high school, like went in high school and got them together. He told Hollywood Reporter, bear in mind that George and Lorraine only knew Marty slash Calvin for 8 days when they were 17. And they did not even see him every one of those 8 days. So many years later, they still might remember that interesting kid who got them together on their first date. Let's stop here for a second. Marty was in Lorraine's bed. Marty, like, Lorraine jumped him. Lorraine remember, like, Lorraine looked at his underwear. Like, I've never
seen purple underwear. That's a bit intense.
The dad hit him with a car. You kind of remember something like that.
I'm like, I don't know if I believe this, but okay, whatever.
I see the logic behind it. However,
now George might not remember him, but Lorraine definitely would remember.
Lorraine would remember.
I mean, I would even argue George would, because like nobody really paid attention to George, and then this kid came out of nowhere. Like,
yeah,
and it's just like, true. Listen, let me help you.
The fact that that moment was the moment they met the love of their of each other's lives. Yep. Like, you kind of remember the people involved in that.
Yeah. And honestly, I remember kids who were only at our school for like a year in elementary school. Maybe it's just me. I don't know.
It seems a bit plot holy.
He continued. But I would ask anyone to think back on their own high school days and ask themselves how well they remember a kid who might have been their school for even a semester. Now, if you have a big high school, that might be true. Mm-hmm. But Sammy and I come from a high school where there's only 400 students altogether, and you literally know every single name of every single kid in the grade, in all mm-hmm. four grades.
Right.
In mm-hmm. high school. Mm-hmm. But anyways.
Well, I mean, you compare it to college where it's like, you know, what, 3,000 to 5,000 people? Like,
yes.
More of a situation, more of the simulation, like what Bob is describing or yeah. discussing there.
I mean, how big was this high school?
I just remember the most of the people that I interacted with in high or in college.
I remember the people I interacted with more or less, but I mean, I couldn't tell you names. I could like pick out faces briefly, but honestly, looking back, a lot of those names and faces have kind of slipped my mind. That's just
weird. I remember a lot of names.
No, I think you are more peculiar. But again, I don't think this high school is full of like thousands of people.
No, I don't think so. I think it is a small high school.
But I think that's a fair statement. Yes.
I mean, Hill Valley is a small town.
Like, yes.
Let's see here. Mm-hmm. Where did I leave off? Let's see here. If you had no photo reference after 25 years, you probably just had a hazy recollection. Okay, hold on. Photo. Yeah, you might not have a photo reference, but your son looks exactly like him.
Like,
you have a real literally. Life reference.
Literally.
They did make a joke on this on Family Guy where George is kind of like, hey, or Lorraine, you remember that kid that we knew briefly and you had the total hots for and you really wanted to like get in bed with him? You ever notice how our son looks a lot like him? Like, kind of, mm-hmm. you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we all know it's the multiverse anyway. I mean, like, time isn't linear, so
oh,
you know, there's some sort of quantum something that just did some diddly waddly wobbly wobbly wop with their memories.
Timey wimey, wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
That's what it is. It's wibbly wobbly, timey wimey stuff.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, so I don't buy it, but you know what? Whatever. Mm-hmm. That was his explanation.
Time travel never works in movies when you're trying to make a consistent plot. You just gotta chalk it up to weird stuff.
Yeah, yes. It's just not. Yeah. Let's see here. Biff's catchphrases, make like a tree and get out of here, and butthead were improvised by Tom Wilson, who played Biff.
That's fun.
Love Tom Wilson.
So apparently Ronald Reagan was amused by Doc Brown's belief that an actor like him could become president. So much that he had the projectionist stop and replay the scene. He also seemed to enjoy it so much that he even made a direct reference to the film in his 1986 State of the Union address. As they said in the film Back to the Future, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's Ronald fun. Thought it was entertaining.
Okay.
Yep. Crispin Glover, who plays George, claimed to have only seen the film once shortly after its release. In contrast, Christopher Lloyd stated that when he stumbles across Back to the Future while channel surfing, he often sits and watches it.
Aww.
It's Back to the Future. Of course you do.
Yeah, I love that.
So when this movie was previewed for a test audience, Industrial Light and Magic had not completed the final DeLorean in-flight shot. And the last several minutes of the movie were previewed in black and white. It didn't matter, as the audience roared in approval of the final scene anyway.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. It's a good film. Let's see here. The inspiration for the film largely stems from Bob Gale discovering his father's high school yearbook and wondering whether he would have been friends with his father as a teenager. Mm-hmm. Gale also said that if he had the chance to go back in time, he would really go back and see if they would have been friends. It's an interesting thought. Like,
it is.
Would you have been friends mm-hmm. with your... I wouldn't have been friends with my dad. He was too much of a rebel and broke the rules all the time. Mm-hmm. And my mom was the head cheerleader. So, no, I probably would have been like the little girl in the shadow. My parents wouldn't even notice me, honestly. Mm-hmm. What about you guys? What do you think?
My parents would have probably thought I was too brash. I don't think they'd hang out with me.
They wouldn't like your personality.
No, see, it would be the opposite. Like, I would be the guy who was rebellious and saying all this stuff. My parents, as far as I know, weren't particularly rebellious at that age. So, mm-hmm.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
I'd be the guy who said all the shock stuff and be like, oh, you can't say that here. It's like, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'd be
my
that guy.
Dad, like, went off on his baseball coach, I believe. And he would
so
just
funny.
Leave randomly in the middle of the day on his motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, we don't know how he graduated.
Mm-hmm.
No clue. I think they just wanted
hilarious.
To go.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Sammy?
I mean, I feel like maybe my mom, because she definitely was like more studious. I get all of that from her. I mean, obviously my dad was smart because, you know, pharmacist. But yeah, I feel like as far as like the studying and things, at least that way, I could have gotten along with her, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, my dad probably was much more of like quiet, loner, sports. And, you know, that was not me as a teenager. Mm-hmm. I was... not really. I might go to a football game, but I didn't really care about any of that at all.
From what I remember, like, my dad grew up in a small, conservative, like, Midwestern town. So a guy who looks like me showing up in that town during, like, the 70s?
Probably. Wait, hippie.
Where did
you're
dad grow
hippie.
Up? You said Midwestern. Where did he grow up?
North Midwestern. Cincinnati, yeah. Ohio, Kentucky, that kind of area. That area.
Yeah, so near he grew up the next door.
To us.
In the city next door.
Mm-hmm. To us, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so. Yeah. You would have, in a small Midwestern, yeah, you would have not fit in very well.
Yeah. Would have fit in too well, because all the people who are curious about it would be like, who's this guy?
You would have fit in my mom and dad's town.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was all, there's a bunch of hippies. Yeah, my aunt was a hippie.
Okay.
My aunt was the one
No, I think my mom grew up more in the Tennessee area, and I think they were a little more like liberal or
probably
would have gotten along more better there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plus, my grandpa was like a huge musician, so
I could see you hanging out with my Aunt Bev and my Uncle Dean. They were
hippies,
kind of like you. Mm-hmm. Which, if you come up to the wedding, you will meet them.
Exactly.
My Aunt Bev is quite a character.
No, I like it. I like it.
Sammy's like, yup.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just thinking about like what I know my mom did too. Like, she was bad. She's a bad girl. She did things
so funny.
She did illegal things.
I think it's just so funny to me, especially your dad. It just always makes me laugh when I think about it.
I'm
just like, are you sure?
But see, here's the thing. What's funny is I was the good one. And if you actually knew some of the stuff my brother did that I don't think he's even told my parents about, he's a lot like my mom and dad's rebellious.
Yeah. Age. Well, one of you had to be, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wish it was me.
I know. You always, he should have just stopped.
Poor Travis. Goodness. No, don't poor Travis him.
Maybe he couldn't help it. Maybe he couldn't help it. It's
no, what happened is I went to college and dad kind of just forgot about the rules.
Wait, what? Sorry, what happened there? Where were we at?
So I had the strictest rules growing up. Like,
oh, yeah.
The reason you remember, like, timid little Ashley, right?
I never saw you as timid, but...
Really?
No,
I
saw
mean,
you
when
as, like, normal.
I started college, I was timid. I thought I was.
Maybe we didn't hang out as much in the beginning, but
well, yeah, probably not, because Holly and I were still trying to figure out our situation.
That's fair. I mean,
it's so funny.
I always saw you as just like normal, just like laid back.
Well, maybe I finally started to get it. I did start getting out of my shell because I wasn't in Busco anymore.
Right.
Busco, yeah. Samuel will tell you, I was timid.
Yeah.
Around most people. When I was just with them, I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
But where was I going with that? Oh, it was because dad, like, I had a strict curfew. I couldn't go anywhere. Dad was worried I was gonna go to a party and get pregnant. Like,
definitely. Ashley.
Gosh.
She definitely would have done that.
Oh yeah.
Gotta keep a close eye on her.
He thought I was gonna be like my mom and go out drinking with friends. Like, he thought I was just he was scared I was going to be turned into my mother or my Aunt Bev. Mm-hmm. And my Aunt Bev was the one that my dad would go out with my grandpa and pull her out of whatever van she was in, smoking or whatever.
Okay.
Doing whatever. So I had very strict rules. But when I went off to college, it's like all the rules went away. And my brother really didn't have a curfew. His girlfriend and him didn't have to be in a public room in the house together. They could just go outside and take out blankets. Or go to his room, or he didn't ever like it. Just
younger siblings have it easier. They always have it easier.
It was annoying.
Dan would know.
I do. I would know.
Mm-hmm.
You're not the youngest. You're the oldest. Aren't you?
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I'm like, I'm pretty sure you're the oldest.
I'm saying like there's like a bond, right?
No, I'm relating to you. Like,
yeah, like you get it. Yeah.
We're both the eldest. We get more.
I can't relate to this, you know, but I'm saying Dan would know the feeling. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, but you were a good kid. Even though you had lax rules, you were a good kid.
Yeah. I didn't have any like reason, you know, it didn't interest me, you know, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't want to go do any of those things anyway. I have stuff to study.
I wouldn't have if they even with my.
I know that's what cracks me up. Like,
even if they would have given me freedom, I would have never done it. I might have gone hang out, but I wouldn't have like done anything illegal.
No, I mean, I know we had friends who were doing things, but like if you and I were together, like we were just like, do you want to just go watch a movie? That's literally what we would do.
Honestly, you were the only friend my parents trusted me with.
It's probably fair because I again had zero interest.
I honestly think if you were not going to be there for like the sleepover or whatever, I wasn't able to go.
So I had to make sure. Yes, I'll show up. It's fine. I'll be there.
Anyways, we got off topic, but I'm sorry. It's fun to think about.
Sorry, Pixie.
No, I started that.
Travel down memory lane, you know. Yeah.
I started that conversation. It's okay. Okay. Anyways, Christopher Lloyd stated that he wanted to do one more movie in which Marty and Doc traveled back to ancient Rome.
Would have been fun.
That would have been entertaining. Especially to see Doc Brown like interacting with the philosophers.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a good movie, I feel like.
See that.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The DeLorean was deliberately selected for its general appearance and gull-wing doors in order to make it plausible that people in 1955 would presume it would be an alien spacecraft.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Valid.
And now it's immortalized forever.
It's like both vintage and futuristic at the same time.
It is.
It's a very weird kind of juxtaposition there.
It is.
I mean, and part of me wants to own a DeLorean just to have it.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I feel like
I wouldn't drive it. I would just put it in the garage and look at it.
Oh, well, I would drive it.
The ones I've seen in the wild.
I don't want somebody to hit it.
That's fair. But the ones I've seen in the wild, I feel like are always decorated to be like Back to the Future themed.
Yeah. Probably.
Every once in a while. But I'll see one at like Disney Springs sometimes and I'm just like, look at that.
I've seen one down the road driving down the interstate. Every now and then, every time I see one, I'm just like, good job. Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I would be, especially in Florida, I'd be too scared to drive it around because I don't trust Floridian drivers.
That's fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And you gotta watch where you park.
Multiple times. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Especially with the doors. Like,
I was just thinking with that.
It's
a bit harder. You're right. Yeah, to be out and about with it.
If it's like raining or if you want to go to Disney, you're not gonna be able to open those doors.
No, you're just gonna be like, well, I'm in the car. In the parking lot. Okay.
Or like if you're able to get out, how are you gonna get back in? Like praying someone doesn't park next to you.
You'd have to literally ask, like, if you went to, like, the Magic Kingdom, you'd be like, can I park at the end of the row, please?
Oh, my gosh.
So I can get out.
That's such a long walk. Can I park at the front end of the...
Can I just park, like, in the grass? How about we just do that? Can that be allowed? Oh,
you would not want to drive that to Disney.
No, there's a bit of an issue. Yeah.
A little bit. Let's see here. So apparently the sticker on the back of Doc's truck, which I've never noticed, says one nuclear bomb can ruin your whole day. That is an understatement.
That's funny.
I've never even seen that before.
Nope, me either. I'm kind of wanting to rewatch the first one just to see if it's there. And here we go. Was the top grossing release in 1985?
Okay.
I mean, it's good time. So Michael J. Fox had always been the first choice for Marty, but he was unavailable due to scheduling conflicts with his work on Family Ties. Mm-hmm. As Family Ties co-star Meredith Baxter was pregnant at the time, Fox was carrying a lot more of the show than usual. The show's producer, Gary David Goldberg, simply couldn't afford to let Fox go. The Roberts then cast Eric Stoltz. I didn't even look to see who this person is. Oh, okay. And as Marty, based on his performance in Mask. After 6 weeks of filming, the Bobs felt that Eric wasn't right for the part, and Eric agreed. By this stage, Baxter was back fully on the show, and Goldberg agreed to let Fox go off to make the film. Fox worked out a schedule to fulfill his commitment to both projects. Every day during production, he drove straight to the movie set after taping on the show was finished every day and averaged about 5 hours of sleep. The bulk of the production was filmed from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. There are a lot of
nighttime scenes.
Yes.
With daylight scenes filmed on the weekends. Reshooting Eric scenes added $3 million to the budget. Eric would later play the title character in The Fly 2. I don't know what that is. Where his character's first name was Martin. So he went from Marty McFly to Martin the Fly.
The only other thing that I've seen Eric Stoltz in is Pulp Fiction. He was the drug dealer in Pulp Fiction.
Okay.
Let's see here. Huey Lewis was asked by the Bobs to write a song for the film. However, the two Bobs were not thrilled with the first song Huey brought back to them. After explaining what they were hoping for, Huey came back with The Power of Love. He was then told they needed one more song. So upon viewing a cut of the film, Huey got the inspiration for Back in Time.
Both amazing songs.
Yep.
Very nice. Or very 80s. Yeah.
Very 80s. Mm-hmm. So 80s, but also timeless.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love those songs. They're bops. So according to Bob Gale, Johnny Depp actually auditioned for the role of Marty McFly. I looked through the notes and I said, geez, I don't even remember that we read Johnny Depp. So whatever he did, it wasn't memorable, I guess.
I love Johnny, but I couldn't see that.
It wouldn't be the same Marty.
It wouldn't.
No.
He's too dry-witted for Marty. Marty, you know, they needed Michael J. Fox and his, like, sort of silly kind of animatedness about him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Depp would have been too...
Johnny's just too pretty.
He's
the bad boy pretty. And I'm like, jive with Marty. Marty's a good attractive man. I mean, it's Michael J. Fox. He's a fox.
Absolutely.
But Johnny's look just doesn't match.
Yeah. It's just different.
It's just very different. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I do love me some Johnny Depp.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see here. The only scene which appears in all three Back to the Future films is that Doc sliding down from the clock tower onto the cable before the clock is struck by lightning. Stuntman Bob Yerkes, who doubled for Christopher Lloyd during that scene, got extra payment for parts 2 and 3 without having to do any work.
That's awesome.
Because it's literally just reusing the film.
Yeah, but that's good.
Yeah. And then I thought this was funny. In the Spanish dubbed version, also refers to Marty in 1955 as Levi Strauss instead of Calvin Klein.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
Levi, that's what they call him. With the jeans. Levi, not Cal.
Yeah. Okay, thoughts. I mean, it's amazing, but thoughts.
Yeah, I think we should let Dan start because we know he's going to have a...
Oh, I got
the manifesto.
Manifesto.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Honestly, this is just what I came up with in, like, I don't know, 10 minutes. Like, if I had taken more time, had I not been sick last week, I would have just written a whole essay on it.
Sorry you're sick. I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely a lot better. Yeah, I forgot to mention that. Yeah, last week I was out of it, but I am back now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyway. So yeah, Back to the Future. What else can I say except this movie is home to me? That's really the only other way I can put it. It's like one of those how did I become the way I am type of movies. You know, we all have those movies that shape us. This one shaped me.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those, hey, you want to know who Dan is? Watch this movie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, I mean, there's so much I can say, but like, they should just name a genre after it. Like, there's really no other way to, like, this movie is its own genre.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think about that? Because, like, I mean, there's so many things, like, you really can't pin it down into anything. Like, it isn't sci-fi, but there is science fiction in it.
Right.
Not really a comedy, but there definitely is humor. It's not an action movie, but there is action. It's really just a kind of mix of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah. I just, every time I watch it, I feel like it's like somebody equated it to like eating a really good meal at a really good restaurant. I was like, that's exactly how I feel. Anytime I watch this movie, that's what I feel.
Oh,
what
okay.
It
feels like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had it not been for this movie, I probably would not have become a guitar player. So seeing
that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah, that was one of those like archetypal moments. You know, it's like, you know, they say, yeah, you know, I've heard that like your inspirations choose you. Well, that one chose me.
I love that scene.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you're not
ready for that yet. But right. your kids are gonna love it.
It's like how he single-handedly like shaped rock and roll for the next like three decades.
Mm-hmm. Like, I love it.
Sound you're looking for.
Yeah. It's the whole paradox. It's like, did Marty invent rock and roll, or did rock and roll invent Marty? You know,
I know,
he's playing
right?
All the stuff that he grew up with, and then he goes back in time. And, you know what I mean?
Oh, it's one of those. Right? Did the chicken lay the egg?
Chicken
or did
the egg? Yeah,
makes my brain hurt.
Gosh,
messes with your head.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did you ever actually pay attention to that? Like the whole sequence of him playing the guitar. Like he starts with obviously Chuck Berry doing Johnny Be Good, and then you know doing the duck walk and everything. And then he goes to the 70s where he does like the surf rock, that you know, he goes through that a couple of times. And then he goes into the 80s where it's like that shredding Eddie Van Halen, you know, jumping around, kicking the amplifier, you know, like he really just encapsulates the 30 years of rock and roll in like 30 seconds.
He does.
I couldn't have like broke it down like you, but I knew like he kind of did a progression.
Right. Like you recognize it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like, it makes that so much more impactful. It's like, yeah, you guys aren't ready for that yet, but your kids are going to love it.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Oh, goodness. So good.
Yeah. Yeah, he was right. I mean, I saw that moment. I was like, I want to do that for the rest of my life.
And you do. You are good.
Thanks. Yeah. I still, oddly enough, I've still never played Johnny B. Goode live. I've never performed it live. Out of all the things I've done, you'd think I would do that one by now, but I haven't done that one yet.
You still have time. You're only 36.
36. Yeah.
I was about to say 34. I'm like, that's not right. We're older than that.
A little bit beyond that.
We can pretend. Let's just say 34.
Yeah.
Close enough.
We're getting into our late 30s.
That we are. That time happens. It tends to move.
Yeah. Brett's 39 this year.
Okay.
Robbie like is
a year and a half away from 40.
That's where Robbie's at this year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, goodness gracious. Big
4-0.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyways, moving on.
So I had a moment, but I have a moment every time I really put this into context. It wasn't until I became an adult that I understood just the level of no that is involved in the situation with Marty's mom situation.
Oh, yeah.
Because as a kid, I'm thinking, okay, it's, first of all, it's Leah Thompson. I mean, she's, you know, gorgeous and she's sweet and she's lovely. And like, she's got the hots for him. Like, who wouldn't want that? I mean, I would want, you know, Leah Thompson, you know, she's amazing, right? But I have to kind of disassociate a little bit, because when you really realize it, you realize what's going on. You realize just how uncomfortable this whole situation is.
Yeah. I'm surprised Marty didn't like break down crying or just run out of the house in his underwear.
Just run away.
I'm sure he did break down at some point when we weren't watching, you know.
Ugh.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I have to disassociate, because when I do, it's like, you remember our conversation about she talks in her sleep?
Yep.
Back when we were doing those. Yep. I prefer that to this.
I mean, yeah.
Yes.
I would rather him have slept with the same woman than his mom tried to sleep with him. Yeah.
It's so awkward.
It's and so just bad.
Uncomfortable. And the whole car scene, I'm just the like, please kill scene. Me. This is I can't movie. Do this. Oh.
The car scene, the bed scene, all of it.
Literally, like, the bed scene isn't as bad as the car scene.
The car scene gets me. Yeah.
Like, that's the one where I really have to kind of disassociate. That's like, I'm just like, look, it's Leah Thompson and it's Michael J. Fox. They're both very attractive people. That's
they're
just
not
that's
really related.
Right
it's
they're not really related.
The
it's
bed
not really
scene,
his mom.
The bed scene's bad to me because she tries looking at him.
True, well, she's already seen it.
And she's already seen him in his underwear, yeah.
Because she describes the color, so. Yeah, I think
and
the car
like
scene
flirting with him under the table. He's like put her hand on his like.
Oh no! Yes! I forgot about that. Oh gosh, yes. Yeah, the car scene just bothers me because he's trying so hard, and she just continues to make the situation worse and worse as it goes on. And you're like, oh no, oh no, this is not working for him. Oh no, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, after I just wrote no car scene no bad no no blah 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 anyway. She talks in her sleep, blah blah blah. Single lady shape, rock and roll. And okay, finally, so this is the topic we were avoiding earlier about what's the equivalent of 1985 to 1955 versus 2024 to 1994. That's right, we're going there.
Okay.
We're going there, and we're gonna deal with it. We are aging, let's accept it gracefully. So first of all, I wanna point something out that's interesting because obviously, I didn't really grow up during the 80s and definitely didn't grow up during the 50s. So watching Back to the Future was just sort of like it was watching a movie, right? Mm-hmm. But I can, watching this as an adult, I can see how they framed the 50s with this sort of like longing, this kind of nostalgia, you know, because mm-hmm. again, like the Bobs were kind of children during the 50s. Yeah. So it's like they sort of dug into their own collective psyches to kind of recreate this, how they saw the 50s as children, mm-hmm. right? And then comparing that to the 80s, which was be that day of the present of that day. But it's interesting seeing that now because like now we're seeing the exact same thing, but with the 80s and the 90s. Yeah, like so it's like our generation who were children during that time, you know, we're framing the 80s and the 90s with that same sort of nostalgic sort of longing, like I don't know, I think that's really interesting.
I personally like
seeing it. I don't necessarily miss the time, but I miss the feeling of not having the cares we have as adults. But that
that's
way.
True.
Yeah,
that's a good way of phrasing.
I miss some of the simplicity of the 90s.
Yeah.
from here.
Yeah, I mean, times were simpler, but again, were they simpler because they were simpler or because we were kids and we didn't care about the world?
I'm not talking about like the politics, the world in the adult world. I just mm-hmm. miss some of the simplicities of like not having to worry. Like we didn't have to deal with trolls on the internet. We didn't have to deal with like keeping up with everyone on having the most newest phone or mm-hmm. I mean we did it through like our clothing and whatnot, but
plus we didn't have trolls on the internet, we'd have bullies who would actually beat us up in real life.
This is true.
That's always
people were brutal.
People were brutal. Yeah, you're not wrong there. I mean all of it just kind of evolves. It never goes away. It just evolves.
People like, just find new ways to be horrible. To
true.
Each other.
Yeah. Yes, like, unfortunately. I can deal. I feel like because we grew up dealing with the in person, mm-hmm. I think that's why I'd rather deal with that because I know how to deal with it and I don't know how to mentally deal with this part of it.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
I mean, we can now, but like when we got into it and all the things, it's like, I don't want to deal with these mean people.
Well, it even felt like back then too. Like if you actually deal with it, like say somebody wants to come beat you up and you push them back, you fight back. Whatever, you know, it's like there was no internet to post that on, so it didn't get spread out.
Our lives were not videoed, you know, which was
not as public.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is the one thing I really miss.
Yeah. So like there would be repercussions, but not to the level that there is today.
No.
You know, and I think that's one thing that's kind of a difficult thing to deal with nowadays. Mm-hmm.
Well, because you can know what happened in a school over in California, and it was just a bully situation, and everyone's taking it and blowing it out of proportion.
Exactly.
Yes, it's bad. Yes, we need to deal with it. But the whole country doesn't need to put their two cents into it.
Exactly.
Right.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Yep.
And I hate reality TV. That started in the 90s. I know, but I hate it.
The real world. Yes.
The real world, the American Idol, the what else? All of it.
All of it.
All of it.
I still can't believe American Idol is still going.
Right? I know. Like every time I see an ad, I'm like, oh, wait, this is still a thing? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Didn't it die when Simon left? Like,
no.
I don't even.
Now Katy Perry's on it with.
Oh, yeah. Luke Bryan and.
Okay, I couldn't tell you. No idea.
I can't remember his name. Now it's going to bug me.
See, what gets me is that, like, reality TV has just evolved into, like, social media, you know, like, there's, like, blind date shows where it's, like, you know.
Lionel Richie.
Yeah. Oh, Lionel Richie's on it? I did not know that.
He's been for a couple seasons.
Oh, sure. Don't watch it. Couldn't tell you.
I don't either. I just see it on TikTok.
Anyway.
Sorry. Dan, what were you saying?
No, yeah, I was just saying, like, you know, reality TV still exists. It's just for social media, and instead of view of ratings, it's clicks and views. So
it's true.
But
yeah, I don't like it.
Everyone's trying to be their own reality TV show through TikTok.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't like it. Like, people just post so much stuff. Like, get ready with me. No, I don't care. I don't care what your morning routine is.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a weird, it's that parasocial world. You know, people like feeling the sensation as if you're a part of somebody's life when you're not, you know.
Yes.
Like, I kind of get it. At the same time, it in long term, it's not the healthiest thing in the world.
Mm-mm. No,
not at all. I like watching the fix, like, some of the creators who I have respect for are the ones who are making, like, fictional stories, and they're the same act. They like act all the characters out, but
yeah,
at or least like comedy it's fictional and it's it's fictional and it's entertaining, and those are the ones that I like to follow.
I do watch those people a lot. Yeah.
Those are my favorites. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like the let's get ready with me this morning, let's see what my routine is. No, I don't care.
I have a routine.
Thank you.
Yes, and it's much less complicated.
You are not a name in the beauty world. I don't know why you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the only, like, when we were growing up, the only way we'd know about somebody's, like, routine to get tips on it is if you got, like, Teen Magazine or People.
Yes, you'd have to read. Yeah, you pull out the magazine and they'd just be like, this is how, you know, Mandy Moore does her makeup in the morning. And I'm like, that's cool.
Mandy Moore doesn't do her makeup. Somebody else probably does.
I know, right? Like, we know.
Back then, now I feel like they just don't have, well, they might sell people around them.
The celebrities do. Yeah. But now they post pictures of it, like where you can see them getting ready with the 10,000 people doing all of their hair and makeup and everything.
Yeah, I know. Like, who was it? Someone's like, well, people have, like, women are able to have kids in their 40s and no complications and still be able to have a career. I'm like, yeah, there's celebrities who have a team of like 30 people doing things for them.
Bit easier
like,
for
I
you.
I am not them.
Right. That's like this looks like one meme somewhere that was like, oh, you have the same 24 hours in a day as Beyonce has. I'm like, no, I don't.
I surely do not. I promise you.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Sheesh.
I love the memes of, oh, they put on one leg. They put their pants on one leg at a time, just like everyone else. No, I don't.
No,
because they have people who do it for them.
They have people who put their pants on for them.
And make their clothes. Mm-hmm. Must be a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know,
and they don't pay for half the crap that they get.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
no,
I had to go buy those jeans
right
at Target. Okay,
I'm not even on these tangents about how their life is easier. Like, their life has their own stresses and complications, just like everybody else. But it's like, we don't have the same life. We're not in the same universe.
No, that's I agree.
It's not the same.
It's not the same at all.
Mm-mm.
I'm okay with that. I like doing things for myself.
I've seen the schedule of celebrities, especially child celebrities. It's awful. It's awful. I don't want it.
That's pretty terrible.
I'm so glad that I was never in that world. I think like growing up, you wish you were. And then yeah. now I look back, I'm like, oh, no, I am.
No, it's pretty terrible.
That never happened.
Yeah, I know a while back, I think Miley Cyrus actually posted like what her schedule was during like the Hannah Montana years.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah, just constant interviews, makeup interviews, filming interviews. It's just, oh, my gosh. It's just like 14.
Well, and that's, like 14 years old, and that's where your parents are supposed to advocate for you. Right. And her parent is a celebrity, and he just... It was probably the same schedule that he was used to. And he's like, oh, she can handle it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Not fair at all.
And a lot of parents did not advocate for their kids during that time.
Mm-hmm. He's riding her to the achy breaky bank.
Yeah. And the ones that did advocate, from what I've seen in some of the interviews that I've heard randomly on like Instagram and TikTok, are the ones that did not last very long in Hollywood because their parents were advocating for them. And they said, fine, if you won't let him do it, we're going to move on to somebody else.
That's also right. true. Mm-hmm.
Which yeah. I'm glad for those kids whose parents advocated for them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
But we are way off track.
Off topic.
As usual.
I will add this one last thing in relation to what we're talking about. You know, when Doc Brown freaks out about Ronald Reagan being president.
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking back, and it's not specific to 2024, but it's the most prevalent in terms of our recent presidency. Yeah. Right. You go back to the 90s, like, who's president of the United States when you're from? Donald Trump, the billionaire.
Could you imagine?
But who's vice president? Snoop Dogg. And I suppose Courtney Love is the first lady, and Pauly Shore is the Secretary of the Treasury. Like, that would be the 90s equivalent of that.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so nice. True.
That's funny. Yeah, because no one would have saw that coming in the 90s.
Not at all.
No, we had no idea.
No clue. Oh gosh. Yeah. Now this. This movie isn't home for me. It would be home for Brett. Brett loves, like, this is Brett's equivalent. But I do, like, this is child. This is childhood nostalgia.
Mm. Yes.
Loved watching Back to the Future growing up. Mm. Loved Michael J. Fox. Mm. Christopher Lloyd as Doc Brown. Like,
perfect. Yeah.
It's just, it's one of those nostalgias you always, like, as kids, you fantasize about going in time, either in the future or in the past. And it's a movie that just allows your imagination to go wild. And I love it. And just being back in the 50s and what would it be like if you changed your history sort of deal? And he almost died because of it. His family was kind of
very close
going away on that one. But yeah, it just, you hit on a lot of things, Dan, that I don't want to repeat, but it will always be a great movie to go back to and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite out of the three.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just so classic. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like the casting was perfect. I love every character.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing too. It just was just the perfect storm.
Yeah.
Make a great movie.
And there's something sort of timeless about it. Like, it was made in 1985, but it doesn't feel like an 80s movie. You know what I mean? Like, at least not to me, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, The Breakfast Club or any Brat Pack movie or anything like that. Those feel like 80s movies. Back to the Future doesn't. It feels like a movie.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like any decade. It just feels like what a movie should feel like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. Timeless.
It could have come out yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really could have. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I will say, so... I mean, I saw this when I was younger, before, like, Crispin Glover was in some other movies that I watched, like Charlie's Angels and some of those others. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching Charlie's Angels with Crispin Glover as the silent man. Do you guys remember? I don't know if you watched Charlie's Angels.
I never saw it.
Did you remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Where the hair issue?
Yes.
It was so weird to see him. Right? In that. So when I go back to the Future, I'm like, this is creepy, because now you're just a creepy man to me, because he's played a lot of creepy roles. Right. And like seeing him as George again, I'm like, this is jarring.
Yeah, it's a bit different. Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Just how George is.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Creepy.
And George is a complete opposite of that.
Oh my gosh, complete opposite. Like, just geeky, pathetic.
A bit. Well, he is a bit.
Sweetheart of a guy.
But he is a bit creepy, because that's why he was up in the tree, right?
He was a freaking peeping Tom.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, you know what? To be fair, I did not care for that part of
George was not a wholesome guy.
And the fact that Marty still was also just like, are you kidding me right now?
My dad's a peeping Tom.
He's a peeping Tom.
Yeah. I didn't care for that. George.
Peeping Tom isn't a thing anymore, but that's because we have the internet, so they peep other ways.
Right.
No, it is.
No, it's not Peeping Tom. It's leaked photos now.
No, yeah, people do that still. Someone in one of our streets in our neighborhood was doing that because they were posting that in the Facebook group. Yep. They're like, he's in the bushes and stuff. And I was like, oh, people still do that. Great. Jeez.
What?
Yes. Honestly.
This is why I always leave all my blinds closed.
Yeah. Same.
I don't know.
We got cameras everywhere. Like, no. No. Pass. Mm-mm.
Oh, I feel like it'd be harder to do where I'm at because I'm in a apartment complex.
Yeah. But
boom.
It's still
the only trees he could hide in are pine trees, and that would not be comfortable.
Mm-hmm. I would assume not, no.
Yeah.
Did you ever notice that reference in the very beginning when his mom's talking about how she first met him, and they're like, what was dad doing in the middle of the street anyway?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
No one knows. You have binoculars, right? You were bird watching, like, huh? What? What'd you say? What? What? He's like, just so distracted, like trying to just change the subject.
So awkward.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And then Marty just, it's like he totally forgot his parents' Marty. Story.
Exactly.
I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, Marty.
Yeah, later when he's talking about it, he's like, oh, wait a second. Wait, come on, Marty.
Me with the car.
Oh, 17-year-old Marty. This.
Well, it's probably one of those things where it's like his mom told the story over and over again that he just kind of zoned out to it.
Zoned out.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't really think that about
it. Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, her dad hit him with the car. Wait, he hit me with the car. That's when it kind of starts to click. And it's like, oh,
oops.
Wait a minute.
Nah, I screwed that up.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Now I gotta fix it. Yeah.
Well, and just how they show his family at the beginning is just so like
sad.
It's sad, but it doesn't feel like Marty fits into his family.
I always think that too.
Whenever he walks in on the first time we see his family, we're like, are you sure you weren't like adopted? Like, something's wrong here. Mm-hmm. You don't fit in with your brother, your sister, or
exactly. And I always think it's interesting. Like, Marty's like a cool guy, right? Like, he shows up late to class and then he hangs out with Doc. Like, doesn't it seem so bizarre? Like, Doc is like a weirdo. I love him. But he's a weirdo, and I always think it's so cute that, like, the cool kid in school is going to hang out with, like, this weird old...
I love that relationship.
It's so great, though.
He's dating the fox of the school. Like,
It's just so funny to me. The relationships.
He has a band. He's a, you know, great music. He's a good musician, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's got a lot going on for him.
He does.
Yeah. And then he has his family.
Mm-hmm. That's usually how it happens, though. That's just the world of Gen X right there. It's like, oh yeah, my family's lame. I'm the only one who's like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what was that? I was gonna say something. And the whole thing about him and Doc's relationship. Apparently, and this is canon. Apparently, it was canon that I think Zemeckis did something about it, where he was like, basically, in the story that they came up with, like Marty was either on a dare or just curious, like he broke into Doc's house to kind of see what was going on, you know, kind of see what was in there. And then Doc caught him, and instead of turning him in, he was like, hey, you seem really curious about this. What if I paid you to kind of come in and feed my dog, and I could show you how all this equipment works? And then that's when he eventually built him that huge amp that he played in the beginning, so he could, like, you know, rock out. Oh. So he developed that sort of friendship there.
I love that.
I love that amp scene.
That's every guitarist's dream.
And Doc's like, oh, by the way, don't plug into that. It might blow. Right. And I'll too late.
Okay.
I'll keep that in mind.
Yeah, I'm not even going to acknowledge that I already destroyed it. Okay.
Yeah, about that.
Just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh boy, but yeah, solid movie. Pixie Dusters, if you have kids and you have not shown your kids this movie yet, you really should. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to rent it because you can't stream it, but it is worth the rent.
Or just buy it. There's bonus stuff on DVDs I have, Blu-ray. Yeah, just buy it. Just do it.
Yep. And you know what? There was I think I put it in the second. I forgot to say there was a piece of trivia about like the sequel. This one at the end of it says to be continued, right? Or is it the second?
No, one? The next one does.
I think it's the second one. Yeah.
Yeah, the first one doesn't do that.
I'm out of order. My bad.
Yeah, the second one does to be. Yeah. Yeah.
To be continued.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, should we wrap up? All right. Well, Pixie Dusters, I hope you enjoyed this episode of our random tangents and all the things Back to the Future. Join us next week as we go to Back to the Future 2.
Yes.
Is there an extra title with 2? I don't think so.
Nope.
No, just 2.
Back to the Future 2.
Just 2. So otherwise, have a great week, and we will see you next week for Back to the Future.
Yes.
Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Thanks for listening to the Pixie Dust Twins podcast featuring Dan. The show is written and produced by Ashley and Sammy, except for those manifestos, which are all written by Dan himself. Intro and audio editing by Sammy, logo created by Ashley. The show is produced as part of the Limitless Broadcasting Network. Make sure you check out all of our other shows and have a magical day.